Turn in your Bibles with me to John, the 4th chapter. And I'll not read all the verses of John chapter 4, but let's begin with verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And notice verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. That verse reads quick, but there's a profound truth that is interwoven in that whole verse. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey. Have you ever remembered reading that before? Jesus being wearied? He knows how you feel when you're wearied. Jesus being wearied with his journey. It was a good journey, but it's sometimes a taxing journey, right? He sat on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And there cometh a woman. In the middle of his weariness, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And then they go into the dialogue of what that water is all about. And then we pick up a little later in the chapter, in verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Whew. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Someone's fed the master surely while we were gone. And Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And that's for every one of us that are here this morning. Then he went further in verse 35. We're always putting this off until tomorrow. Say not ye. Don't say it. There yet cometh 4 months. Why should we be all fired up about the things that are going on around us in outreach today? We have 4 months. 4 years. Who knows when Jesus is coming? I'll grant you that one. But he said, don't put a time on it. Don't say we have time. Then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, it's now. The only day of opportunity of our life is now. But he said, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. For they are white, ready to harvest. Ready. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that upon which you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you're entered into their labors. We're not the only ones out here. God's prepared the pathway before us. One waters, one plants, God gives the increase. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days, and many more, many more. Verse 39 said many, but many more now believed because of his own word. I want to minister in this service on living on purpose. Living on purpose. You don't just wake up in the morning, get on your cell phone, call your friend, say, "What's up, man?" Living on purpose. And I have two different sets of thoughts that God has given me, that which are compatible, but to blend them together, God will show us how to do it. First of all, Jesus was led and anointed by the Holy Spirit. His life was not a careless life. I don't mean that he was uptight and he had to sing a religious song or, you know, talk in religious tone of voice. But what Jesus did it on purpose. He was on the sea at the right time when it seemed like the wrong storm had blown in. He was there for the woman at the well, in a place where no good reputable Jew would go, because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. There's always been some kind of racial conflict until you get Jesus in your heart, and that settles it all. I had a strong dream the other night. If I drove up to the church and sitting in front of the, I don't remember which door, it was so strange. There were three little black children, little black boys, and they were, I'd say, age maybe 4 or 5 up to about 6 or 7. And the feeling that I had in my heart was they were related. They were brothers. And I got out of my car and I thought, no one's around the church. It's not church time. What are these little guys here all by themselves? What is the deal? And they had big smiles and they were just cute as they could be. And the oldest said, "We were left here. And we were told that this is a place of compassion. This is a safe place. We were left here." They weren't sad about being left because someone spoke words of hope. And they said, "This is where you need to be because these people will help you. They will love you." And obviously there'd been some kind of terrible conflict in whoever was taking care of them or the parents or what. I don't know. I didn't have any further interpretation. But what touched my heart is this. It doesn't make a difference what the color is. This is a place that cares. We can't do everything, but by the grace of God, we'll do what we can do. And that's been the history of our church. But you see, Jesus was led by the Spirit of God. He was led, literally driven and led into the wilderness. You remember to fast 40 days. And then he was led to be baptized at the hands of John the Baptist. Led. God led him there. He just happened to be at the right place at the right time. I know I'm taking my time on this, but there's so much truth here that really needs to come home. Jesus was led and anointed by the Holy Spirit. And this is so important for us, for me, for you. I have purposed in my heart, I want every day to be a led day. A day when I am led by the Spirit of God. That no matter what I do for me, that there's ample time left over to help someone else. To go the second, third, fourth, fifth mile to help someone else. All right, so Jesus was led. But I want you to notice what happened. There are three insights that I don't think I've ever heard anyone elaborate on these verses. There's three things about Jesus in this situation. First of all, Jesus was led. He must needs go through Samaria. A strange expression, because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. There was strong friction there between the Samaritans and the Jews. Secondly, Jesus was hungry. Can you ever imagine Jesus being hungry? But he was hungry. Well, if he was hungry, why didn't he go into the city with the disciples and get meat with them? The disciples had gone to the local all-you-can-eat cafeteria, and they were just having a great old time because it's time to eat. Well, there's nothing wrong with having a time to eat. But Jesus was hungry. It was time to eat. So the disciples went to the local all-you-can-eat cafeteria, however many miles away it was, and they left Jesus at the well. What in the world is he doing sitting on a well when it's time to eat and his own staff is going in to get something to eat, and they leave him there by himself at the well? But there was a purpose of God. There was a leading of God for him to be where he was. And I believe with all of my heart, there could be exceptions here today, maybe just a visitor here today, but I believe that God has ordained that I be standing where I'm standing this morning, saying and starting to say what I feel is in my heart to say. But you see, with Jesus, there was a purpose in him that was greater than his hunger for food. There was a purpose. There was a God purpose. Jesus lived on purpose. He didn't live by accident. He lived on purpose because he had the soul winner's fire. The Spirit of the Lord God was upon him to heal the sick. Jesus was on a mission from Father God, and he only had 3.5 years to wrap it up, go to Calvary, go to the grave, come forth triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. All right, so Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was hungry, but he didn't do what normal people do when they're hungry. Thirdly, Jesus was wearied. Yes, the Son of the living God, the one who was in on the creation of all things, came to earth, was weary. Church, listen to Pastor Nichols here this morning. Don't you think that over now into the 50th year, can you even imagine how many times that you are weary? Although you're a leader, although you have people that love you, although you know you're doing what God's called you to do. That's exactly why the verse is so important from Galatians. Be not weary in well-doing. We've had folks leave that there was only one thing to say about it. They were weary. They got weary. Or they got hurt. I told someone, I said, does anyone have a slightest clue of how a pastor gets hurt in the middle of all these things? How my family gets hurt? How my grandchildren say, what's wrong with people on Facebook? We'll leave that alone because I've got the victory over that. But I'm saying, the last thought in their mind is where they've been blessed and birthed and born and nurtured and given to and blessed, and the whole family has been blessed, and all of a sudden, without any kind of an inkling, they just disappear. That's a strange deal. They're worse than that. But anyway, out to lunch. Ain't no lunch on that one. They left a feast. All right, Jesus was weary. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, I've had to keep a grip on my life. How many times do you get weary in well-doing? Way back in the little post office building, you call a work night and all the men are coming the next day, the electricians or the plumbers or whatever, and if it's not letter perfect, they walk away. They won't be back for 2 or 3 weeks. So the preacher, who was not trained to do this, but God helped me, and maybe one or two would come with me. We would work all night to get ready for the crew coming the next day. Got weary. Lord, you go home when the sun came up the next morning, you're weary from head to foot. You go to sleep on the den floor close to where you walked in because you're tired. Thought, I'll sit here for a minute, and that was the last thing you remember for a few hours. But listen to me. You can be winning souls and get weary in the midst of winning souls. Do we realize what a privilege it is to have a system in place that we can be encouraged and nurtured and taught and go out and witness, win, and bring them in? Ushers can get weary. They're here every Sunday. How many people say thank you to an usher? Thank you to those that serve us. Those with the children. Yes. David, you understand? You teach and you teach and you teach. You pour out, you give out. And if you follow the way of the flesh, how many times are we entering that weary stage? But we get a hold of something that helps us, brings us through. Because you're either going to be weary serving God, or you're sure going to get weary serving the devil. That's a dead end street, baby. I mean, help is coming and help is on the way if you're serving God. But if you're serving Diablo, the way just gets rougher by the day. Amen? Now, why are you taking time with this? Well, there's a purpose. Jesus was led by the Spirit. And I'll tell you, I'm just seeking God more every day. Lord, I want every day to be a day to be led by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. Also, Jesus was hungry. Yes. And Jesus was weary. Now, what can you do to compensate for that? Well, when you get weary, sometimes you just need a good meal. It's not always terribly spiritual, but maybe you just need to sit down and have a good meal. Maybe you need to have a good meal with a good believer. And as you eat together and fellowship together, why, life has a way of looking so much better. When you're weary, and also Isaiah 40 said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Church, we've got to pray more. I don't care what anybody says about prayer. I do care, but we've got to be sure that somewhere in our daily schedule, we take a quiet time to pray. We can't make it without His strength. I can't do what I do. You can't do what you do without the supernatural strength of God. We live in a world that'll push you to the edge. So they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. All kinds of good things happen. And sometimes when I've started the day with some of the most powerful times of prayer, it just seemed like all hell broke loose that day. But it said, but the Spirit of the Lord said, you didn't know what kind of hell could have broke loose if you hadn't prayed. You think this is tough. You don't know what could have been. Well, praise God. You're not shouting on that one, so we better move on. So by prayer unto God. Also, thirdly, by diverting your thoughts. This works temporarily. But think and speak faith words. Don't say, I can't get there from here. If it happens to anybody, it'll happen to me. We make it rough on ourselves. Speak the word. Speak the word only, the centurion said. Speak the word only. Jesus, you don't have to physically, visibly come into my house. Oh, speak the word. I believe the words you speak, and my servant will be healed. So think and speak faith words. Or reach out to help somebody. You know, when you feel fatigued, a little discouraged, a little weary? This is a secret that I've discovered over and over again. There's always someone around you that you can be a blessing to. Amen. I was going to a doctor's appointment the other day, and I believe it was, one of the programs that was there. But the man that was on the program was talking about a life of giving and of seeking ways that you can help others. And had told about helping some worthy young person go on a camp out. I mean, some kind of a church camp out. And the mother came to him and said, "My child, our family has gone through a tremendous time of breakup. And that our child could not have gone if you had not taken care of the tuition. And you literally have done that which has changed my child's life." Little things that are so big to others. Well, I went into IHOP and God was beginning to give me this message. And I saw a little Oriental lady come in. She was on a cane of some type. Her daughter was with her. And she sat down. She had to get the menu real close to her eyes, which let me know either she forgot her glasses or she needed glasses. And I watched them carefully look over the menu. And it's just, you're pretty close in proximity, but I was busy writing some things down that God had given me. And I told the server, I said, "See those two ladies, whatever they order, just put it on my bill." She said, "I'll do that, sir." I said, "I'll take care of the tip." That's no big deal. No, it's no big deal. That's just what a believer gets to do. But you know, whether they were embarrassed or whatever, I mean, I'm down. I didn't even notice when they left. But you know, they didn't even say thank you. But I did not expect a thank you. I didn't do it for them. I did it as unto the Lord. And they probably were very thankful, but maybe they haven't been in America very long, and maybe they didn't know how to respond. Maybe they've been abused or used by men. Who knows? You don't know what some people have been through. And I realize that every time I preach, you don't know where people have been all week long. And I've had it happen time and time again. I said, "I'm going to church one more time to see if I can find some real love and compassion and somebody that really cares. A message of hope and help." And I found it here. Not just with me preaching or whoever was preaching. So maybe you just need a good meal together. Maybe you just need a good meal with a good faith friend. Don't get one of those negative friends. You don't need that. May in prayer, which you should do, by diverting your thoughts and thinking and speaking faith words, or reaching out to help someone, to encourage them, to buy a family some food, to help someone, find someone to help, or, and this is what we're all involved in, witnessing. Share Jesus with somebody. When you're weary, when you're tired, when you're hungry, witness Jesus. Take time to look away from your physical needs or lack and help someone else. Make someone else's day. Make someone else to be happy and to know that life is worth living. Or you can go to a New Testament church, as I believe it's here this morning. The plug is there. If you, the electricity is in the wall. Just plug your faith into what I'm saying today, because you're going to see results. Then understood I when I went under the sanctuary of God. There are things that as pastor, I do not understand until I come to church. And while I'm sitting with praise and worship or listening to someone else, it's amazing how many times I've preached out my own answer to myself. There's answers to the complexities of life when we come into the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. God is here to give you answers. You have questions, God has answers. You have needs, God supplies your need. So go to a New Testament Holy Ghost Church. Then understood I, the psalmist said. Praise God. So as I look at this woman, the word must, Jesus must, needs, go through Samaria, a place where Jews did not choose to go. For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, though Jesus didn't live by that standard of life. You understand? Go through Samaria to Sychar, to a well, where no one is there. What kind of a leading is this? The disciples are going to get something to eat. Jesus is weary, he's tired, he's hungry, and he's sitting on a well, not a soul in sight. I must have missed the leading on this one. The dots aren't coming together. But all of a sudden, there came a woman. It could be well said there came a man, or there came a teenager, there came someone who needed help. There came someone who needed Jesus. There came a woman, the Bible said. There came a woman. There came a woman. Because when you go where God says to go, it's going to be all right. Go through Samaria to Sychar. He came to a place called Blessed and Anointed, for Sychar was near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. He came to holy ground. Now let me just be a little religious here on you. You're sitting on holy ground. You're in an atmosphere of holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. We sing that chorus from time to time. Don't daydream on me. Don't tune me out. Just say, what does God want to say to me through this? Speak to me, Lord. I took a shower, took a bath. I burned up some gasoline. Took this time out of today that others are doing other things. I expect to be touched by God today. To be very frank with you, I am being touched by God in my spirit as I'm reaching out to minister to you. For I've not just said, give an offering, or I've not just said something that was self-serving, but I've shown you the ways that you can break out of this weariness. Amen. Must go through Samaria. Jesus was weak, but thank God there was an answer. Then there cometh a woman. You see, the kingdom needs that woman, but that woman needs the kingdom. Hallelujah. No matter what your giftings and abilities may be, the kingdom needs your abilities. And you need what the church offers. It's a two-way street. Amen. But church, in the middle of it all, listen to me. I have seen it over a last period of time. People that this should be their finest hour. This should be their finest hour. But someone soured them. Someone lied to them. Someone dumped a load of garbage on their head and they got infected. And all of a sudden, everything that used to be so right now is so wrong. That's hellish. It's dangerous. Because we're doing everything we can do to build this place up. Amen. You don't burn up your own house. You don't dump garbage in your own house. If you're normal. You don't even have to be a Christian to have that much smart about you. You don't unload the garbage and pour it in the middle of your floor. That's where I live. This is where I live. This is one of the places I live. The house of God. Hallelujah. I want to speak good words over this house. I want to speak good words over those that come to this house, that sing in this house, that witness out of this house, that teach out of this house. I want to be a builder, not a wrecker. I want to be an encourager, not a discourager. Whew. I'm saying some things. that were just birthed in my heart by the Spirit of God. Weary Jesus, he gives us the way to come out. Dr. Oswald J. Smith, who pastored a church in Toronto, Canada, was a great man of years gone by. But he's the one that authored the statement that everyone must either go or send a substitute. T.L. Osborne, I know, quoted that so very often. Everyone can't go. Everyone's not called to hold a crusade in Africa. But if you won't be a part of a crusade in America, honey, don't export what doesn't work here. You don't have to go to Africa. Just be on the team here in this greater metroplex area. The opportunities are here. They're here. We need people to pray. We need people to witness. We need people to go. We need those to hold up the hands of the ministry. We've received some of the most precious expressions from people through the holidays, of course, which we're past now. But people just saying, thank you for a safe harbor. Thank you for a safe house. Thank you for a place that gives us the opportunity to do something for God. Amen. Either go or send a substitute. So while the disciples were gone, Jesus was weary. But now he's energized. They come back. And they said, Jesus, we feel so sorry for you. I'm sorry, we didn't bring anything back from the cafeteria. It was all you could eat, but we ate it all. I tell you, I followed a couple of folks through the cafeteria the other day. They needed overload springs on that tray. Dear God. I mean, it was a balancing act. I mean, all you can eat. I stayed back because if that pyramid ever came down, it's going to be disastrous. Amen. But they said, Jesus, we feel so sorry for you. You didn't get to eat with us. You didn't get to fellowship with us. But Jesus said, I have had meat to eat that you don't know anything about. What drove Jesus was helping people, ministering to people, loving people, praying for people, giving to help people, giving to see the kingdom of God go forward. That was his life. That was his meat, more than a physical tray of food or plate of food before him. To be a part of a team that's helping others. To be a part of reaching out. And I'm meeting it everywhere I go. Especially in the greater Fort Worth and Metroplex area. Even going to Dallas to a hospital the other day. People are hearing. A lot of people are hearing about a church that really does care. We've heard what's going on. Keep up the good work. We called. And you prayed. The power tower prayed. Something miraculously changed in my life. We didn't have anything to eat. But the church provided something on that week when we didn't have anything to eat. Thank God for a church that has altar calls on purpose. That gives you the opportunity to come and accept Jesus as personal Savior. It's not a waste of time. Praise God, it works. And as I look at this, you see, Jesus saw a well with no one around because he was led by the Spirit. He lived on purpose. He didn't live by accident. Sometimes we say, well, it just seemed like an accident. I ran into something. No, it wasn't an accident. God, before the foundations of the world, knew you'd be sitting right where you're sitting right now. He knew what your name would be. He knew everything about you. He knew exactly where you'd be sitting here on a Sunday morning. Think about that. We're just part of his divine plan. But the kingdom needs that woman, and that woman needs the kingdom. Well, when it finally dawned on her that she had met the answer to her life. You can take this any way you want to go. I've heard every kind of an expression over, but she went into the city. She knew some men. And Bud, if you don't come out to this well, I think I'm going to talk to some folks that know you. Now, I don't know if she'd said that. She probably wouldn't because she had met Jesus. But few things as strong as a woman with a made-up mind, I'm telling you. And so many came to Jesus. Church, you have the opportunity, and it's already come to pass, and it's coming to pass, and it shall continue to come to pass. You are part of a team that is reaching many for Jesus. And read down what three verses more, and then many more. Because the people that were one, then they go out as evangelists back to the city, and here comes another wave of people that need Jesus. One thing begats another. One act of obedience necessitates another. And so we're sitting here kind of calm in this service right now, although Calvary's not always a calm place. But just think about it. There's a tsunami that's coming in, folks. There's some other Charlie Pryors out there that can't get away from drugs and can't get away from alcohol, that haven't heard in their church, you must be born again. Christ is the answer. God will set you free. They haven't heard that. Or women that have not heard, there are still men that will honor women. There are still men that will not use women. Man gets what he wants and he goes his way. Men ought to thank God for church. We've supported many of their offsprings, help support them. We're not here to hurt you. We're not here to get to you. We're not here to ruin your life. We're not here to give you bad memories for the rest of your life. In the name of Jesus, we are here to tell you there is a man called Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He will set you free. He will save you. He will change your life. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Thank God there cometh a Savior to the well, and there cometh a woman, and a dialogue happens, and she's born again as much as you could be born again at that time. Hallelujah. And then she does the natural thing. She goes into the city and becomes her own witness. And many come to Jesus. But then a few verses later, in verse 41, many more believed because of his own words. Many more believed. This thing's just getting interesting. We're in the many stage, but the many more stage is coming. Ooh, that felt good. That wasn't in the notes. Hallelujah. We are seeing many, but the many more is coming. Folks, it's harvest time. But let me go back to this one point. If you're weary, it's not God's fault. It's our lack of dependence on the Word. It's more than just coming and sitting and soaking. You've got to believe this. You've got to speak it and put it into practice. This doesn't just, Dr. Hagin, you say, this doesn't fall just like cherries from a ripe tree. Whether we're staff or whether we're quote lay, whatever category you put us in, we all drink from the same fountain. I get weary, but I know what to do with it. I get hungry, but I know what to do with it. It's not all food related. For they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You musicians know, how many times have you felt like you put the oil stick in and there was no oil on the stick? But you begin to play. You begin to sing. You begin to worship. You begin to praise God. Or you went out to witness and you told someone about Jesus. And before long you thought, what was wrong with me? I don't even remember what was wrong with me. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You have done what God said to do. To abolish weariness. But oh folks, what I'm telling you, we're in the midst of one of the greatest opportunities in the whole wide world. I'd rather have what we have here this morning than 6,000 or 10,000 people. They ain't doing much of nothing. I tell you, there's not a greater joy in this world than to share Jesus with somebody. Don't just hear this message by Pastor Nichols and then go out and say, well, he was really stirred today. He says, look upon the fields, look upon the harvest, look, open your eyes, blink, look out. There's people all around you that need Jesus. Look upon the fields that are white, not 10 years from now, but ready now for harvest. They're ready now. It's wonderful to be a friend and to win people through. I mean, you know, some people are totally into friendship evangelism, and they've been being a friend for 4 years, but they've not won them to Jesus. I think you got a dry hole there, honey. You're not striking oil on that one. How many more lunches are you going to buy for someone that's not even in the race? Find you somebody that needs Jesus, and remember, a salesman's not a salesman unless they can close the deal. God has given us an open door, and no man can shut it. Only you, yes, Lord. Only you can shut that door for you. Man cannot shut that door. Man cannot shut the door. Only you can shut the door and say, I've had enough of that. That was a kick while I did it. Keep kicking. Stand up and be counted. We don't do everything just the same way every time, but what I'm saying, don't throw it away. We afford you an opportunity to reach people, to touch people.